remind me, David, if we don't get back to it, but the ACT in the past is in document 9, and I'll make sure to identify it so you know. But I don't want to throw out a number without being sure, but it's definitely a value less than 27 and 26. But it's in that document 9, and I'll make sure to show it to you. So, you know, kind of leaving that and getting ready for moving forward, we look at, then the plan development teams looks at the results of the SAMS model, which basically pumps out an estimate of exploitable biomass by area, as well as catch and fishing mortality. And all of these, you can kind of play with them a little bit, adjust them, massage them a little bit to try to fit what's required, if you will. And so when we look at the next few years, based on the results of the SAMS, there's, you know, a few areas that seem that they could take some fishing effort and a few that shouldn't. So for 2013, for example, Hudson Canyon still has a bunch of biomass in there that definitely should be harvested. Because of the high recruitment that we're seeing, Elephant Trunk and Delmarva, the model was set to close those areas. And moving to Georges Bank access areas, again, closed area 1 seems to have some, as well as closed area 2. The open area amounts of landings that are in this forecast of landings, as I mentioned earlier, are coming from the overfishing limit definition being set at 0.38. So those are constrained right now for the Georges Bank open and the Mid-Atlantic open. Those values are what you get and catch when you constrain. You can see on the right the total open area F at 0.38. when you sum all those things together, you do get a overall estimate of catch more in the 40 million pound range, which is a substantial reduction from where we are right now. 2014 is pretty similar. And then 2015, you start to see an increase in catch due to those mid-Atlantic scallops getting larger. When I showed this to the advisors yesterday, they were, well, why don't I wait until we get to the other document? Has the exploitable biomass by area, and it gives you a sense of kind of where the PDT started and why we made the decisions that we made. So this is alternative 1, and what this actually means in allocations is that each full-time vessel would be allocated 2 trips into access areas in 2013. And the strategy of this alternative from the PDT's perspective was to look at all the areas that are available and squeeze out as much catch as we can without having a fishing mortality rate, you know, ridiculous. So what happens then is that right now, the situation we're in is there's no access area really available right now that has sufficient biomass to support a trip. And there's no area right now that has enough to even give half a trip at 18,000 pounds. So the only way that every vessel can get 2 trips right now is at a reduced possession limit. And when you run the math, it's roughly about 13,000 pounds for the first year and 15,000 pounds for the second year. So that's basically, you know, forcing those Fs at pretty high levels to get that amount of catch by area. And then, as I said, the days at sea have been set at a level up to their max, the 0.38. And when that trickles out, you get 33 days for a full-time vessel in the first year and 31 days in the second year. The PDT for 2015, as we did in Framework 22, we have been setting a third year as a default in case the following framework is late, which we have needed. But I think the PDT recognizes in our recent or all along track record, the frameworks are late, and it's been very problematic to have access area allocations in there by area because in some cases it's not the areas that you want it to be. So our recommendation today to the committee is for 2015 default measures. We don't think you should include access area allocations at all, and that the default should just be days at sea, so the fishery can start under days at sea fishing in March, and then you set those area-specific allocations in the actual framework that follows. So that is a change and a recommendation that the PDT has, because essentially we've been trying to come up with these default measures, but in reality it's 3 years away from now and the areas are going to be potentially looking very different, and then we need to do an emergency action. We kind of set ourselves up for that. So that's what our recommendation is right now for default measures. Alternative one is on the screen and also in document 9, if it's too hard to read. This is basically a breakdown of all of the different limits and catch amounts that are now required under ACLs to show. So this is for alternative one only, what your different OFLs and ABCs are. Again, those remain the same for any alternative, because that's basically just what the resource can handle. The way our flowchart is set up in this FMP is we pull off the incidental catch removals, the research set-aside removals, the removals for observer set-aside program. All of those come right from the top, right from the ABC. So those are all the same no matter what specifications end up being allocated. Then the limited access sub-ACL, so then you basically have your ABC, as David was mentioning, equal to ACL. You remove your discards and all those other things, and then you get a value that's then divided between the limited access and the general category fishery. So for this alternative, in year one as an example, your division is 42 million pounds for the limited access side and 2.2 million pounds for the general category side, plus that smaller allocation for limited access vessels that also have IFQ, which is your roughly 200,000 pounds. The ACT question that you were asking about, what's the buffer between your ACL and your ACT? In this particular case, our allocations that I showed on the previous slide are going to shoot for and aim for 33.7 or 33.8 million pounds is what we're going to shoot for. That's what those allocations are estimating is your target. But we assume, as in years past, your catch is going to be somewhere between that and your 42 limit for the limited access side of the house. So when you combine, you know, the limited access and general category catch, you could be in this, you know, 40 million-ish place for alternative one. Alternative two, I won't take a lot of time on. You'll hear later that the advisors actually recommend getting rid of this alternative. The PDT developed it because in the past we've heard restraint or the industry not being interested in changing the possession limit. People are very used to 18,000 pounds. It's a huge fine to come in from an access area with something over your possession limit, so people have been very nervous about ever changing that, and the fleet has become very used to that value. However, to afford an 18,000-pound trip right now, the only areas that could really take that would be half of the fleet in Hudson Canyon and half of the fleet in Closed Area 2, and then nothing in Closed Area 1. So you're essentially just, you know, losing that catch, if you will, for this first year. It'll be there for later. So this alternative is different in that you basically have less pounds in the first year and probably more pounds later when Closed Area 1 can be harvested. Advisors didn't like this alternative. They actually suggested something different, and instead to look into Nantucket Lightship in the first year as a potential way to spread some of the effort around, and I'll explain that later when we get to the advisory panel input. So it's probably all I'll say about alternative two for now. This is the last slide, just about the future that I've mentioned. The recruitment in the Mid-Atlantic is very good. We'll be carefully watching it. Closing Elephant Trunk and Delmarva now and followed by Hudson Canyon after that will be very important to the future years for this fishery. And even if it's half as good as what we saw in the Elephant Trunk the last go around, catches will be right back at, you know, 50 to 60 million pounds, you know, if that all goes as it did last time.
Okay, thanks, Deidre. Any more questions from the committee?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a general comment. I've been thinking about what Laura and Tom both said before. And I think that in terms of the buffers, that comparison with other fisheries is not really particularly apt. We know that in the ground fishery, as an example, that our buffers are probably wrong because our data isn't very good. It seems to me that the scallop fishery has come to resemble more an agricultural endeavor than a wild harvest endeavor. I mean, it's not there yet, but it seems to be moving in that direction. They exist in an area of relative benthic uniformity, and the biological factors are well known. It seems also to me that the percent uncertainty, particularly the scientific uncertainty, relates more to what we might find in future performance changes rather than uncertainties in data. So I would hope that we can find some way here to mitigate the obvious strong negative effects on the industry. And I think that looking at the buffers is a worthwhile thing to do. Thank you.
Laura?
Devorah, just a question for you. You discussed the cyclical nature of the health of the stock on Georges Bank, in that the Mid-Atlantic is going through a boom right now. Does the Mid-Atlantic have that same boom and bust cycle, or is that unique to Georges Bank?
It appears to be different. I don't think there's been as strong of a pattern either way with the Mid-Atlantic, and it seems to be a little more space-dependent. You'll have one area that has very good recruitment and then it seems to go downstream. There hasn't been as much focused research on that, but it does appear that you have a 1 year of good recruitment and you'll have maybe 2 years behind that because of that 1 year of good recruitment. So it does appear to be different.
David?
Yeah, Deirdre, you mentioned in your presentation that it appears in Georges Bank relative to recruitment we have like a 7 year cycle of ups and downs. And we're on the downward cycle right now, indicating poor recruitment, very poor recruitment on Georges Bank. Is there any conclusive evidence that indeed we have a 7 year cycle? I didn't see it in the data that you had before. So is that something we should assume is the case, that we're going to continue to have poor recruitment on Georges Bank because we are within this cycle? What does the PDT have that would give us some scientific evidence for that actually existing?
I'll send you the papers. There's not many. I think there's been two papers out of the center, and I mean, no, we shouldn't assume that that's going to be that way in the future, because who knows? It just seems that that's how it goes. Whether it's 7 or whether it's 10, there is variety. But looking back, that is probably what you'd hear from the fleet as well, that there's more of a boom and bust in terms of the fishery always on Georges. But
Where are we now in the cycle? Do you know offhand? Has that been mentioned by the PDT? Are we expecting more years of very poor recruitment with that cyclical assumption?
I don't think we talk too much at the PDT about when we would predict an uptick, but I believe it's been two bad years of recruitment on Georges, so maybe in another year. But honestly, that's where you get into hocus pocus predictions. But Document 5 does have a little more detail about, each area, and I'll quickly look through there. I went back a couple years, you can see, and then you can make your own judgment of, when you think it'll turn. But it doesn't seem that it's going to turn by next year from what we saw this year.
Okay. You indicated in one of your slides that the fishing mortality on Georges Bank in 2012, the estimate is 0.18, which is on the low side. Now, is that low estimate of fishing mortality due to the fact that, based upon survey results in the Georges Bank area, the majority of the biomass appears to be in habitat-closed areas? That biomass gets included as a Georges Bank biomass estimate. They can't be fished on, so therefore mortality is low. And if the area was opened up, mortality would spike way up.
Right. The place that's probably the best, I don't have a copy of my presentation. Do you? At the back of No, the other one that I just gave. At the very back of the presentation is probably the best place, and we'll be maybe referring. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Document 9. I'm all over the place. Document 9 has a very large table, and I haven't gone through Document 9 yet, but Document 9 on page 6, I thought it would be too many numbers on the screen, so I didn't put it all up, but on page 6, this is for Alternative 1, which is on the screen for landings and fishing mortality, but to the right of that is a breakdown of exploitable biomass estimates from these different surveys by area. And from there, David, I think you can see, for example, on the bottom, that's exploitable biomass in millions of pounds by area based on Alternative 1 allocations. That's what you would be pulling from to get that catch. So just to walk you through Hudson Canyon in 2013, the F of 0.45 on that top row that we're allocating to Hudson Canyon would give you about 3 million pounds of landings, and you're drawing from, you know, a possible amount of 8.4 million pounds of exploitable biomass. So you can run down that and see, you know, the different F levels. You know, for some of them, definitely the PDT, for example, Delmarva in 2014, you have an F of 0.25. And historically, that area doesn't really function very well with higher Fs. But we did push that F a little higher than some people, I think, would like for that area because it is on the margin of the resource. So it's going to be fishing pretty hard to get 3.5 million pounds out of there. So, you know, when you compare that, the exploitable biomass in Delmarva is only, for that year, only over just over 4 million pounds. So you'll be pushing pretty hard to get that that catch out of there. When the advisors were looking at this table, they noticed Nantucket Lightship, I was mentioning before, and so did the PDT. You know, that's a comparable level of biomass that's potentially exploitable in Nantucket Lightship in 2012. So their recommendation for you later today would be to kind of have the PDT explore allocating some trips out of that area as well. When the PDT talked about this on our conference call, we were a little hesitant putting more catch in the first year because we have concerns with the second year, 2014, as I was mentioning. You know, we're not thrilled about the amount of biomass in Delmarva. We're not thrilled about the amount of biomass in Closed Area 2 and those very high fishing mortality rates. If you see in Closed Area 2, we're talking about 0.6 and a 0.7 in Nantucket. So those things kind of pushed us to put the Nantucket trip in the second year to make sure you had some good catch coming out of at least one of the access areas in that second year. But it was a request from the advisors to look at it. We could see what the committee thinks about the idea, but basically you'd be moving some of the, taking the total amount of access area catch in Alternative 1 and spreading it over four areas instead of three. So all of these Fs and everything else would adjust because you'd be moving those trips to four areas instead of three. So I don't know if that answered your original question.
Right, yeah,
but yes, the EFH close, areas, yeah. You can see, I'm sorry, flip the page. It didn't fit on one. The EFH areas that you can see, the exploitable biomass is 46 million pounds out of the total 145. And if you took that value out of just George's, it's even more. But so basically, yes, roughly 30% of the exploitable biomass in this entire resource are in the EFH areas.
Okay, thank you. Well, I just said flip the page. Thanks for calling my attention to these tables. Okay, that explains it then. The Georges Bank open area in 2013 has an exploitable biomass of 42 million pounds approximately. And in the EFH area on Georges Bank, we see all of those circles indicating abundance. It's about 45 million pounds. Okay, so it's almost the same amount. Okay, good. Then one final question, just because I've got to get my terms right. Once again, I'm thinking groundfish and not scallops. In the table that you referenced showing allocations in pounds proposed in Framework 24, where you note the ACT, right? We have limited access sub-ACL of 42 million pounds, and then we have the limited access sub-ACT of 34 million pounds. Is that for management uncertainty? Okay, thank you.
And do we have any questions from any members of the public before we move on? Drew?
Thank you. Drew Minkiewicz, Fishery Survival Fund. If you could throw alternative the slide with alternative one back up. Yeah, that one. Thank you. So at the bottom there, and towards right-hand side, you have the fishing mortality rates. Now, normally our ACT target is a fishing mortality of 0.28, correct? Okay. And so here you see we're targeting 0.22 and 0.21 and 0.24, respectively. So there was a lot of talk earlier about buffers and if we could try and remove buffers. But here we're not even reaching our very cautious buffer of 0.28, you know, because remember, overfishing is 0.38. And we're targeting, we try to target 0.28, and here we're only hitting 0.22. And is that because by maxing out days at sea at 0.38 with 33 days, and so we hit that limit, and then what's available in the access areas, and the fact that 30% of the exploitable biomass is in habitat closures, the way the plan is set up right now, we can't even fish to our target.
It's correct that the constraint in your day at sea allocation is being driven by the restriction of 0.38, yes. So if you know, you were able to legally overfish in the open areas, which you're not, but if you were, you would, without going into the habitat areas, you'd be overfishing in the open areas to bump up that 0.22.
Okay, so basically, if we actually want to achieve our precautionary target of 0.28, right now we have a choice of trying to overfish in the open areas, which is robbing Peter to pay Paul, or accessing the 30% of exploitable biomass that's in the habitat areas right now that would allow us to catch another 8 million pounds, which would get us to our still very precautionary, not even over our ACL. That's 8 million pounds. That's, you know, potentially $80 million next vessel value to the economy. But since we can't access, and that it's not over-harvesting any area, it's not going over any limit, it's scallops that are there that we just can't access right now. And that's how we can grow this pie, rather than trying to, you know, put too much effort in the open area, which I don't think anyone wants to do. So the key here is we even want to get to what we're allocated, we need to harvest in the habitat areas. Thank you.
Anyone else? Laura?
Just to follow up on Drew's point, and Tom and I were just sort of sidebarring on this. I was reading in the Groundfish that there was some conversation in the Groundfish PDT about access to the habitat areas before, to try to speed along the process before the habitat bill gets passed by asking for exemptions and trips into areas. Is that something that we could do for scallopers as well to give them access to the 45 million pounds in the northern edge? Is that a vehicle that we could explore?
I guess I would look to Pete Christopher on that. I'm just not up to speed on that discussion in Groundfish and sector exemptions, and so I'm not sure where the parallels might be or the differences.
I'm not sure offhand. I think it's something we'd have to explore and see what the best mechanism would be to do something like that. I just don't know where. Typically, a scallop access would be a joint Groundfish scallop plan program, so I can't answer right off the bat. I can see if I can get some info as the meeting goes on.
Thank you. I think that'd be helpful because I think we're going to be coming back to this general topic probably a number of times throughout the day. Tom?
Thank you. As I understand it, and we'll be talking about it at the Groundfish Committee meeting tomorrow, I think the word was that we received back from NIMS after pursuing this, pursuing actually Jim Odlin's motion from the last committee meeting that was passed then by the council, that habitat areas, any changes to the actual currently identified habitat areas would require an amendment. Changes to the or increased access to the groundfish mortality areas could either be done via groundfish framework or potentially via change to the sector operations, what is and isn't on the table during the sector operations plan process. So that's, I think, what we're going to hear and what the PDT in Groundfish has been told, that the habitat areas, to change current and existing habitat areas requires an amendment. That's what I hear.
Yeah, I think that that's likely, and maybe if Pete could just confirm that for us.
I was asking Travis to look up the last question you had, so I didn't hear what you were asking in that one. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Tom was just saying that the discussion, I mean, as a member of the Groundfish Committee, the discussion as he understands it for Groundfish is that sectors may be eligible for exemptions to mortality closures. Access to habitat areas will take the omnibus amendment to move to allow access. And Laura, did you have another question? Or? So, you know, our task here today is to deal with specifications for scallops, and we have a number of documents that Deidre has provided. And I'll just point out one thing on our meeting materials on the backside of the agenda. Number 3 is a working document for potential limited access general category yellowtail AMs, and that document's not ready. So if anybody's been looking for it, we don't have it. The PDT will be bringing it back to us in November when it's complete. And I would refer everyone to document 9 that Deidre's mentioned a couple of times, and also our scallop AP motions, which is a document that's not numbered. And the AP spent a good amount of time on this yesterday, and as Deidre already mentioned, they propose a different alternative not currently in the document. So the PDT in document number 9, you'll find 2013 default measures on page 2, status quo measures for 2012 on page 3, alternative 1 on page 4, and alternative 2 on page 5. The AP motions relative to specifications, we have motion 3 and 13, which they're not numbered sequentially, so 13 falls right after number 3. And further down, motion 6 and 9 are relative to dealing with the default measures that will go into place as of March 2013. And so before we sort of delve into that a little bit, I'm going to ask Deidre if she would just run through the timeline a little bit and just mention the issues that we will need to deal with relative to the default measures.
Sure. I'm sorry, I was thinking while you were talking. So the default measures for 13,
yeah.
What's going to happen? Okay. So as this committee has known, since we started development, a decision was made that the council's preference was to wait until the 2012 surveys were available so we could use the most up-to-date scientific information to set our specs for 13 and 14. And in doing that, we need to wait for all those surveys to come together. So final action on this framework cannot occur in September, which is when it would have to occur in order to get the framework implemented in time. So the council made a decision, rather than doing that, we want to wait for that information, use that information, and have final action in November. By having final action in November, just the timelines of getting something implemented, this target implementation for this framework is probably May of 2013. So the fishing year begins on March 1st. So we've been in this situation before. The months of March and April, most likely the fishery will be under what we called our default 2013 allocations from last year. So if you look at document 9, for example, the second page is called the no action, which is the 2013 default measures. This is what the fishery will basically have come March 1st. And as we know, it's very different than alternative 1. Even if we adjust alternative 1 in some way, it's very different in terms of what the fishery is going to have ultimately at the end of the year. The areas that are open are different. The total catch for the general category is different. For example, here, general category is going to be under 3.1 million pounds starting March 1st, but by the end of the year, most likely they're going to be in the range of 2.3 million pounds. Big difference. General limited access as well is going to have 26 days at sea, which will probably go up. So that is not something we need to worry about. But what we really need to worry about, most specifically for the limited access side of the house, is Hudson Canyon. So in this chart, you can see that 1.5 trips will be allocated to the Hudson Canyon area come March 1st. So some vessels in the limited access fleet will have one trip, and some vessels will have two. And that will be at 18,000 pounds each trip. So we've known from what we just went through, there's not enough in there to sustain those trips. And we're probably only going to be allocating, some portion of the fleet a trip in there at a reduced possession limit. So the advisors discussed this for a while yesterday. They brainstormed for a bit. In the past, when we've been in this situation, we've requested emergency action, basically, and we've said, okay, this area shouldn't have been open with this much effort. Let's close it and wait for the framework to come behind it. We talked about that for a bunch with the advisors yesterday. Ultimately, a concern was raised, however, that by closing the area now, meaning by March, and waiting until this framework would replace it, which would be May, you're going to lose the months of March and April, which is very good fishing time for the Hudson Canyon area. So if you close it, you don't let the fishery happen in those months. You're going to delay that into the early summer when people should not be fishing in the Hudson Canyon with higher fishing mortality. So the advisors talked about that for a while, so that didn't seem to make the most sense for the resource itself and the recruitment that's in there that we want to protect. So their recommendation in the advisory panel motions, sorry, I don't have the number in front of me, is it six? Six, I think. Their recommendation is instead to, leave things as they are, but in the permit holder letter make it very clear which way the council's going with allocations for Hudson Canyon, and actually put right in Framework 24 some kind of measure that will be a huge disincentive for someone that has two trips to go in there. And the disincentive that they developed yesterday was that you would lose both of your trips. So motion six, you can read it yourself. Basically, they're trying to make it a disincentive for people to do that. And vessels that do take their 2013 access area trips would be giving up all access area trips ultimately authorized under Framework 24 plus 10 open area days at sea. So that was their recommendation, to be a true disincentive for someone to take that effort. But if someone did go in there and caught just the 12,000 pounds in March and April, then everything is fine. That's their recommendation for this issue for Hudson Canyon. And in terms of the general category side of things, we were not as clear yesterday how that would go on. So they're going to be allocated 3.1 million pounds at the beginning of the year. Leasing and trading and permanent transfers could go on, but ultimately later in the year, those allocations will be lower. And we haven't been in this situation before. I don't know. We did have things in the plan last year in case of these things, but we might have to have the PDT think a little more about an appropriate default strategy for the general category side of things. Of course, the permit holder letter could include a lot of heads up about all of this, but the PDT can continue to work on trying to figure out a way to handle this on the general category side of things. Is that what you were looking for? Okay.
Thanks, Deirdre. So we have two alternatives proposed by the PDT. Alternative one, which has two trips but a lower possession limit, and they had some concerns because they've heard from the industry in the past about, not wanting to lower those trip limits, so alternative two. The AP has a motion two, eliminating alternative two, and they also propose a new one. So for the committee today, we need to decide which alternatives we'd like the PDT to move forward with. There are three on the table, and I think we should get it down to two. So if anyone has any thoughts or motion on that topic. Tom?
Just a clarification. It doesn't seem like it's the time necessarily to pick a preferred alternative so much as to whittle down the alternatives and redirect the PDT. With that in mind, and to forward this discussion, because I think what the AP has done here is is constructive direction. I think we should pursue it, and I think it's something that the PDT should consider. So I'd move to adopt the amended motion 2 from the Scallop AP meeting, September 17, 2013. I can read that into the record.
Do we have a second? Rick Robbins, a second. Any discussion on the motion? David?
Could I hear the motion again? I couldn't write it down fast enough.
That would be to adopt amended motion 2 from the AP committee meeting. That's to eliminate alternative 2 and develop the new alternative to open 4 access areas in 2013. The number of trips could be vary by area. The possession limit can vary from alternative 1. That carried unanimously yesterday at the AP meeting.
David?
Yeah, just again a clarification. So the alternative 1 was a plan development team recommended alternative. Alternative 2 on page 5 of document 9 is not the PDT recommendation.
It was. Both of them were. The only reason we really developed alternative 2, alternative 1 from our perspective was squeezing as much as we could out of the access areas and giving as many days as we could up to the legal maximum. Alternative 2, but in doing that, you see the lower possession limit issue. So we developed alternative 2 because we weren't sure if the industry would support changing the possession limit, because we've heard that that is very important to maintain that. When we brought both of those, otherwise they're exactly the same, except for that that one part. When we brought it to the advisors yesterday, granted it's just the people that were in the room, people were okay with figuring out how to deal with a different possession limit rather than reducing catch, because that's what you'd have to do to give the 18,000-pound trips.
All right. With the motion to eliminate alternative 2 and develop a new alternative that would open 4 access areas in 2013, I'm sorry if I'm having trouble keeping up with what the plan development team has recommended. Does that conflict in any way with any of the survey information, plan development team recommendation regarding what can be withstood within those areas, those access areas? We're not in conflict with any plan development team.
No, what I was just mentioning before is that, you know, we noticed the potential exploitable biomass in that area as well for Nantucket, but our discussion originally was we thought you should push it to the second year because there's some other unsettling things going on in that second year, so we'd like to kind of reserve that trip. That was our, you know, original input. Certainly, exploring it again, all you're really going to be doing is bringing some of that effort from the second year to the first year, and, you know, you would be having in higher Fs, you'd probably be losing some catch that second year. So adjusting it a bit. It, you know, there is biomass in there. It's just a trade-off of which year and which way to go. And without running the model exactly as it's been recommended, I can't say exactly what it'll show, but then you could see it.
Erlen? And then Mark?
Well, I think what I heard yesterday, they just wanted more alternatives for option 1 was, I think, was more or less preferred, but they wanted different alternatives, and I think that's where this motion came from, as I recall it. But
and many of them are here to add, but I think the other thing was that they felt Hudson Canyon was really important to protect what's in there, and as little effort that could go in there as possible without, you know, taking catch away was preferred to let that area, you know, grow out. So I think the idea of adding one more area to the mix would help spread that out. This is not an alternative that's going to, you know, increase catch at the end of the day. Both of these alternatives will have the same amount of catch. It's just pulling from 4 areas versus 3.
Mark?
Just so I understand the two statements in here, it says the number of trips could vary by area. That means you could allocate half trips.
We're going to be actually in both of these alternative 1, or if this gets adopted, half trips aren't even working this year because there's not enough for even half trips. So there's going to be uneven numbers of trips in all of the areas probably.
Okay, and then the other statement, the possession limit can vary from alternative one. That means there may be some options other than 18,000 pounds per trip?
So the idea would be you keep the possession limits the same for all the areas each year, of course, so people could trade. But what that's saying, maybe not very clearly, is that right now alternative one is saying 13,000 pounds based on the areas in the model that we could pull from. If by this modification something allows an increase or a decrease in the possession limit by adding that area in, this is not necessarily saying it has to be 13,000. Maybe it'll be able to go to 15 by this situation.
Rick?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Deirdre, just to follow on that point, what would be the timeline on the PDT further fleshing out and analyzing the details of this option?
We have a meeting in October, and we'd have to have it ready for that.
David?
Yeah, Deirdre, regarding taking more in the Nantucket Lightship area this year as opposed to 2013 as opposed to 2014, is there any information the plan development team can provide us regarding the consequences to the resource from holding off until 2014? The reason why I ask that question is that I know we've had quite a bit of discussion about scallop mortality within the closed areas, the access areas, and that we forego a lot of yield by waiting too long. In other words, is there any biological sense and merits for the benefits to the fishery by taking it more early on than waiting a little bit?
I think that's exactly what we'll be bringing you back, and you would be able to more directly compare those two, basically take it now or take it later type of thing. These two alternatives would show that exactly, and we would have, you know, similar tables with the exploitable biomass differences between the two of them, and then you know, the 10-year expected difference between them from this one small modification. It might not end up being very big by the time you add everything up. I mean, the difference between them. But that's exactly what we would bring you back.
Thank you. FSF supports this option. What's going on here is we're looking at we'll be able to take about 8 million pounds out of the access areas total. And the question is, do we want to take it out of 8 million pounds out of three areas, or maybe we want to look at taking 8 million pounds out of four areas and weighing the pros and cons of either approach? There was concern amongst the advisors with the Hudson Canyon. While there are some larger scallops there now, there's also a major recruitment event going on in there as well. And so while we want to get those large scallops now, while they're harvestable, especially in the mid-Atlantic with the warmer water, you want to be careful that you're not harvesting the undersized stuff and having some incidental mortality there, especially in the warm water months. And so if there's a way that we could maybe take 100 trips that were going to go to the Hudson out of there, put those into Nantucket Lightship, share the burden a little more evenly across the areas. Nantucket Lightship has some good numbers, also has some good recruitment, has a proven history of if you let it sit, it really produces well. So, you know, I understand the PDT's thinking was they didn't want to go in there necessarily and try and really rely on that in 2014. But if we can look at, if you take a few trips that would have gone to Hudson maybe, put them in Nantucket Lightship, not necessarily damaging the future in Nantucket Lightship, improving the future of Hudson Canyon, you know, looking at those trade-offs, that was the thinking behind this. You know, you're still looking at, you know, the access areas are what they are right now, and you're looking at 8 million pounds. You know, as I said before, the issue here is there's a whole lot of biomass we can't touch right now. That's, if you're looking for gains, that's where it is.
Ron?
Yeah, just to summarize and follow up on what Drew is saying, it's we're not thinking about Hudson Canyon 2013 versus 14. If you move 100 trips out of Hudson Canyon in 2013 into the Lightship area, and there's 8.4 million pounds of scallops there, those 100 trips are going to end up targeting the larger scallops. More importantly, and a little bit of a concern to me, is the incidental mortality in 2013 will go down. because the incidental mortality will occur in Hudson Canyon. Unfortunately, the model assumes higher incidental mortality on George's Bank than in the Mid-Atlantic, and that's not the case here. There'll be a lot lower mortality in the lightship area fishing on those larger scallops on what's relatively clean bottom for George's Bank versus the incidental mortality that would occur on small scallops in warm water in the Mid-Atlantic. So in the net result is in 2014, we would expect we'd have a lot more weight of scallops available to the fishery than in the current alternative number one, if we go with the AP alternative.
Thank you, Ron. I'd like to bring it back to the committee. I think we're ready for a vote on this motion. All those in favor? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Against? Abstain? 1. Thank you.